Lost. I think that's what it feels like to be rejected. You feel lost. I don't know if you can remember the kick in the gut that you got the first time your boyfriend or your girlfriend said, "I don't want to go out with you anymore." Sometimes some of us carry those scars with us for quite a while. I would imagine you've experienced rejection and you've experienced acceptance. No one is fortunate to get everything that they want. And so because of that, we know what it's like to feel and experience rejection. And no one has ever been so hard up that they've been rejected for everything. And so we have an understanding of what it's like to be accepted as well. We do know what rejection and acceptance feel like. Bruce constructed these messages during the season of Lent to encourage you to let God's Spirit lead you. And so the first week he talked about from stressed to being blessed. The second week he talked about from grumbling to gratitude. Last week we talked about moving from fear to faith. And tonight we're going to take a look at moving from feeling rejected to being accepted. Let's pray before we do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the time we have to take a look at your word and what it has to say to us. And as always, Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds so that we can draw it from those things that would be pleasing to you, that would be edifying to our faith and our spirit, so that we might in turn be able to proclaim your good news to others. So we ask you to bless this time as we look at your word and what it has to say to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at a text tonight that Bruce left me. When he left me the moving from rejected to accepted, he left me Psalm 5, verse 11. And so I took a look at it, and it says this: "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name would be able to rejoice in you." And I thought, okay, I think I know what he's saying. But then I look back at the psalm we looked at last week. And I want to go back to that because I think that verses, those verses with the one tonight really help to make it a lot more clear. In Psalm 27, if you start in verse 9, it says this: "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, my God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors." So you remember what it was like to feel rejected? A couple honest people sitting out there. There we go. Yeah, pretty much all of us, as I said, have experienced this at one time or another. It may have been something minor. It may have been so devastating that it affected your relationships and who you are right now. I mean, here's some of the common ways it happens. You try out for the sports team and you don't make it. I talked about the fact that the girl you were dating or the guy you were dating says, "Not anymore." Or maybe you were teased in school, or could have been that you were publicly humiliated, or maybe you didn't get the job you applied for, or maybe you just laid off from your job for no good reason at all. The letter says, "We regret to inform you," and you didn't have to read the rest of it because you knew what it said. The date you were hoping to get, you phone her and you hear the laugh on the other end, and that says, "You got to be kidding." I told her no, I wasn't, and hung up. But some of those experiences are even more painful, aren't they? The experiences of being rejected. Knowing that you were an unwanted child. Growing up without ever feeling love from either your mother or your father. Growing up in a home where your parents split up. Being the object of abuse, whether it was verbal or physical or more devastatingly sexual. Having a brother or sister who were favored more than you. Bill Cosby, "Mom always loved you best." I'm the oldest of seven. I told that to all five of my brothers and my sisters who got everything I never got. Feeling the pain of losing your lifelong partner. Experiences like these can be really, really hurtful. And they can leave wounds in your heart, whether you're aware of them or not. You feel rejected. You feel crushed. Rejection feels horrible. And rejection, indeed, is most unwelcome. Rejection is refusing to accept a person. Those who continually feel rejected end up with this thing that they call rejection syndrome, meaning they expect others to reject them. That's a really nice dress you have on today. Pardon me? That's a nice dress you have on today. What was wrong with the one I wore yesterday? Some of the guys are going, I get that. But what people tend to, when they've experienced a lot of rejection, to look at it with those eyes. Some people decide they can't feel good about themselves unless somebody else accepts them. So rejection has its effect. And in essence, it's the feeling of being unwanted, of not being wanted by anybody. You desire to have people love you, to let you believe, and yet you believe that they don't. You want to be a part of a group, but you feel excluded. You want to be included, but you feel on the outs. You don't feel wanted. You don't feel accepted. And what happens? It ends up being the host of a lot of other problems. Because it spills out of you into your relationships with others. It's harmful. It's not always outwardly visible. It can be hidden. It can be something that we carry around. That's why in Matthew 3:10, we need to remember that we can't do that, because if we do, if we don't root it out of our lives, then it continues to bear negative fruit, and we can't bear the fruit that God wants us to. The primary result of it ends up being an inability to receive or to communicate love. A person who's never experienced being loved has difficulty experiencing giving love. What does Scripture say? We love because He first loved us. Right. Well, other results of being rejected: giving up, which can lead to loneliness and misery, hopelessness, building up walls, putting up a facade, keeping people away from us, fighting back. And then you see the characteristics start to evidence themselves. A critical spirit, difficulty giving and receiving love from others, feelings of inferiority, or feelings of perfectionism. I'm never good enough. I can't live up to what people think of me. Anger, bitterness, oversensitivity, driving people away, desperate attempts to find love. By way of definition, rejection means the absence of meaningful love. Doesn't mean that there's no love involved. What it means is that the love that the person is getting isn't the love that they need. And consequently, it's not meaningful because it doesn't meet their needs. Whether we are loved or not can then determine whether we feel rejected or not. Now, of course, what do we know? We know that God has created us with a God-given need to be loved and to be accepted. And He's the only one who can meet that need completely and meaningfully. So we all experience rejection to one extent or the other. And usually it results in our ability then to love others the way that we've been loved. And the bondage of rejection is that we don't feel worthy of being loved. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, for me, I ask myself that question. I know who I am, as well as I'm sure you know who you are. And we ask ourselves, am I worthy of being loved? You begin to think you're being rejected even when you're not. Your confidence is shaken. You start to feel inferior. You start to question your relationships with others. Insecurity settles in. And before you know it, you may even be questioning your relationship with God. Does God really love me? Does God really care about me? Does God really love me unconditionally, just as I am? And that's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what he wants. He wants questions. He wants insecurity. He wants doubt. As we said last week, he wants fear. So how do you move from feeling rejected, or these feelings of rejection, to being accepted? Well, maybe it would help if we'd look at it from a different point of view. Because a lot of times, rejection is in the eye of the beholder. I'm reminded of a story where a young salesman was really, really discouraged because he wasn't making any headway. He wasn't being successful in his job. He was being rejected by a lot of the customers that he approached. And so someone suggested that he go to somebody more experienced for advice. And so he went and he told an older salesman the problem. And he says, "So what do you think?" The older salesman looked at him and goes, "Gee," he says, "I don't really understand that." He said, "I've been hit on the head. I've been called dirty names. I've been thrown out the door, but I've never been rejected." Rejection, many times, isn't what happens to us. It's how we interpret what has happened. And we know what it feels like, but what about acceptance? What about acceptance? What does it feel like to be accepted? You apply for college, and one day that letter comes. You ripped open the envelope, even though you were scared to open it for a little while. But you rip it open, you look inside, and it says, "We are pleased to inform you that you have been admitted." How'd you feel? Celebrate. Whoop for joy. Yahoo, I got in. I now have the privilege of paying $40,000 a year. Whoa, didn't think about that side of it. But it felt good to know that you're accepted. Or some of us perhaps got down on one knee and fumbled around for a while for that ring in our pocket, nervously playing with it, knowing what question we wanted to ask, but also hearing that little voice inside of us saying, "What if she says no?" And asking and having her say yes. And all the joy that it comes from it, from knowing she accepted me. Or you applied for a job and maybe after a lot of interviews and false starts, you finally got that position, the one that actually came with a salary. And it felt good. You're elated. A job with more money than you ever expected. Acceptance feels great. So how do I move from rejection to acceptance? By turning away my eyes and my focus away from rejection and into the fact that we are accepted. And our acceptance comes through our identity. Quite simply, the point is, we all experience rejection, and a rejected person will not only reject himself, but will reject others. The reason being, a person who has experienced the absence of meaningful love can't give love meaningfully. So what's the answer? Acceptance. Acceptance. There was a book that was written about rejection and its effect. Here's the title of it: The Ins and Out of Rejection. The Ins and Out of Rejection. Notice the title had the word ins, which is plural, and the word out, which is singular. It's written by Charles Solomon. The point is, there are many ways into rejection, but there's really only one way out. The only way out of it is through the cross of Christ. To deny ourselves, to take up his cross, and to follow him, we have to live life from the cross. That's what this focus of Lent is all about, giving us a chance to think about that. It's about the fact that we want to de-emphasize all those things that we are and emphasize who we are in Christ. In the flesh, our natural resources have been, I would say, programmed in certain directions by the teaching and by the different experiences that we've had. For some people, they're programmed so that their identification, their identity is through the accumulation of things, of stuff. For other people, they may be programmed towards success in business or other achievements. For other people, it could even be the pursuit of achieving acceptance and identity. For believers in Christ, though, all these are false and unsatisfactory identities because our true identity is based on who we are in Jesus. It's that simple. And it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process in that we're all in the process of becoming inexperienced who we are in Christ by position. Our identity comes out through Christ and the cross because Paul says it in Romans, "Through which he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Through the cross of Christ and the grace of God, we're accepted in God's eyes in Jesus Christ. Human acceptance won't heal the damage that's done by rejection. It may help at times, but it doesn't heal it. The only way to cure rejection is understanding that God loves you and that you are one in Him. The experience of being accepted in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, Paul talks about the fact that the work of the Holy Spirit is in us. In the same way that God raised Jesus from the dead, that's operational in us as we place our faith in Christ and His resurrection from the grave. Paul wrote in Romans 5:10, "If then when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Our identity is based on who we are in Jesus Christ, and we claim that by faith, not by works or anybody else's. It's who we are in Jesus. So we shed our human identity for a spiritual identity in Christ. But now let me take this one step further. Let me ask you this. What if you've been away from home, and when you came home, they rejected you? What if your own family, your parents, your brothers and sisters met you at the door and said, "We don't want you here. You're not welcome." I mean, today in my house, we're experiencing some joy for a week. My son-in-law has been at Fort McCoy over on the other side of the state training, and he gets to come home for 5 days before they fly him out to Fort Bliss for a month and then ship him to Afghanistan. What if when he came to the door, we would have said, "Matt, you've been gone for a month. See ya. You're not welcome here. You need to find a new family. We don't want you." Isn't that the ultimate rejection when your own family rejects you? Wouldn't that be the worst feeling of all? Robert Frost put it, "Home is where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. But despite the have to, they don't." How would you feel? I don't even know. Maybe some of you have had that experience. Are you ready for this? There's actually some good news about rejection. Jesus knows what it feels like. Jesus knows what it feels like. He came to His own, as we're told in Scripture, and His own accepted Him not. Yep, and because He knows how we feel, and He offers us a solution. The Bible said when God came to His own people didn't accept Him. Our God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who made us in His image and after His likeness, called us to be His sons and His daughters, our God invested Himself in us and was rejected. When He came to His own creation, those who He loved and cherished as His crowning glory turned and said, "No, thank you. We don't want you." Let me ask you a question. Could it be said this way? Not they, but we? That's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Sit there tonight and be lumped with them who rejected Him. But in honesty, not rejected in the past tense, but in the present tense. He came into His own and His own people rejected Him. You see, the whole part of human history can be written as a story of the ways that we reject our Creator. Because we are, in essence, rejecting God and His love for us whenever we choose to live by our own desires and do what we want and do what feels good rather than what God wants. That's a hard word of law. It is. But there's grace in there. God didn't give us the Ten Commandments to take away our fun. I heard Chuck Swindoll say that one time. He never gave them to us to take away our fun. He gave them to us for our protection and our future. That's why God gave us the Ten Commandments, so that we could honor Him and not hurt each other or hurt ourselves. But too often, we think, "No, thank you very much. I'm going to live my life according to what I want to do." really tired this morning. I'd rather sleep in. I know I should get up and have devotions, but I got to be to work on time. I'll get them. I'll pray in the car on the way there. I know you don't do that, but I know somebody who does. Now I lay me down to sleep. See ya. You know, going to church, I got Packer tickets. Miss the tailgate if we go to church. All sorts of little things that just creep in there. And they happen to us each and every day. Why? Because we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We don't make perfect choices. We don't do the right things. We don't choose what's right all the time. People used to say to me, you know, I was principal in Milwaukee Lutheran, kids would act up and they do something maybe really bad to get suspended or even worse, maybe expelled. I'm surprised that that happens at a Christian school. I used to look at them and say, you know, we got this weird requirement. You can't get in unless you're a sinner. That's what we are. That's what we are. We're not perfect. We sin. It's no fun admitting it. It's no fun acknowledging it. But that's who we are. We're imperfect. And that's why Christ came. That's why he came. Because he knows that. He knew it then, and he knew it was going to happen in the future. We reject God if we do things that end up hurting him. And not if we do, when we do. That's the sin. You know, the day when all the forces of evil raised themselves against him, it was rejection that drove him to the cross, to death. I mean, the prophet Isaiah said it this way, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, for he had no form or comeliness that we should desire him. Jesus didn't fit the notions of what would give people pleasure. He doesn't match the ideas about what a convenient God would be. And so he was put to death. And it wasn't the people only who did it 2,000 years ago. It was all them before and all of us who have come after. From crib to the cross, from the heavenly choirs to the loud laments, he was put to death in 33 years. And yet, he turned the issue on its head. He's rewritten the equation of rejection. Out of our hostility, Jesus has worked a work of love. This is pretty amazing. Out of our unfaithfulness, he still remains faithful to us. He hasn't turned his back on us. He hasn't rejected us. And out of our rejection, he works an acceptance for us. He's risen from the grave, and he's given us life, and he has given us life eternal in God's acceptance. So I'm going to wrap up tonight by saying, if you want to break free from rejection to acceptance, if you want to break free and you got a pen, you want to write this down, I'm going to give you an acronym for BREAK, how to break free from rejection when you're feeling rejected. Here's the first one. The B is for believe in Jesus Christ who took your rejection to the cross. Believe that Jesus Christ took your rejection, whenever you're feeling rejection, to the cross. Your sin, our pain, our shame, our sorrow, our rejection, he took that all upon himself. And he endured a double rejection because he was rejected by his own here on earth, and even his Father in heaven didn't spare him from the death on the cross. Jesus was rejected by people, and you and I may have had some experiences of rejection, but I will guarantee you, we will never experience the kind of rejection that he experienced for us. So believe that Jesus took your rejection to the cross. Here's the R in BREAK. Receive God's acceptance. You see, because right at the moment when Jesus took our pain and our suffering and our sin and rejection, something dramatic happened. If you remember, the curtain in the temple split, top to bottom. Why? Because that meant, if you remember, it's splitting meant that the barrier was removed between God and man. The act of Christ's death on the cross removes the barrier between God and man. The way was open for us to come to God without the shame of rejecting him and feeling rejected, without guilt, without fear. He took our rejection so that we could experience his acceptance. Because of what Jesus has done, we now know God accepts us. And his love for us is not based on our performance, but on the fact that we're his children. No matter what your kids do, I've got six of them. And they've done some things. I don't know how yours are. But I can't ever remember or think about a time when I would never love them. When I would turn them away. No matter what. And that pales. That's infinitesimal when it comes to the love and acceptance God has for us in Jesus. As his children, there is nothing, what does it say in Scripture, nothing we can do that will separate us from the love of God. We may pull away, but he's not going away from us. Here's the E. Engage with your spiritual family. You see, God's love for us is not only to be experienced vertically, but it's to be experienced horizontally. Horizontally in the sense that he wants you to have relationships with others. He wants each of us as his children to be in a spiritual family where we feel love and acceptance. That's why we do this here. That's why we do this thing called church. So that there's a spiritual family. So that there's a connectivity. So that we can feel love and acceptance. And we're there for each other. To pray for each other. To comfort each other in times of sorrow. To celebrate with each other in times of joy. It's our spiritual family. And you need others. And they need you. And by the Spirit, the Father wants to fill our hearts with his love. So we need to learn to accept people as they are. We need to treat people as if they're important. We need to see them through God's eyes as someone that he gave his life for. I'll guarantee you this, you have never locked eyes with anyone who doesn't matter to Jesus. You've never locked eyes with anyone who doesn't matter to Jesus. Here's the A. Accept yourself. Why? Because God has fully accepted you. You need to accept yourself. We're all made in God's image and in his likeness. We're his children. You know, I quoted a Bible or a bumper sticker, I think, on Sunday. I got another one tonight. You know, God doesn't make junk. God made me and he doesn't make junk. God made you and he doesn't make junk. You are precious in his sight. You are his workmanship. You are his master work of art, his masterpiece. And here's the K. Keep a forgiving stance towards others. In response to those who had rejected him and crucified him, what did Jesus do? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, forgiving those who hurt us and reject us, that's not an easy thing. In fact, it's virtually, I will tell you, impossible without God's help. However, the Holy Spirit will give you the supernatural grace that you need, if you ask for it, to be able to forgive those who have hurt you, who have rejected you, who have brought pain into your life. Remember this. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. My dad, and I've told you, who's 90 now, going to be 90 this June, pastor all his life, never saw his oldest son, moi, play one game of football, basketball, baseball, or track in 4 years of high school and 4 years of college. I used to ask my dad, are you coming to the game tonight? Nope. Why? Choir practice. You coming to the game tonight? Nope. Why? Church meeting. And there's a part of me that wanted to just scream and go, that's not a good answer, except I was afraid of lightning bolts coming out of the sky. You know, I'm working for the Lord, he would say. And I wanted to yell, it's not good enough. And a friend of mine who was a counselor when I was in my early 30s, and I was explaining to him the hurt and the anger I felt towards my father for never showing up for me the whole time, says, why don't you just forgive him? And I said, well, I can't. He said, why? I said, because he hasn't asked me. He said, so? What do you mean, so? He didn't apologize. He said, so? Well, he's got to apologize. He said, because? Well, what if he's not sorry? So? Have you ever thought about just forgiving your father without having him say he's sorry or asking for forgiveness? No. He said, maybe you ought to try that. And God worked on my heart and, you know, was able to let it go, you know. And my dad to this day, I'm 63, I'll tell you, so that's 30 years ago about it happened. To this day, he still hasn't said anything. I don't think he ever will, you know. He does other things to let me know he wishes things would have been different. But in his mind, he was doing what the Lord called him to do. Okay, Paul, get over it. Get over it. Forgiveness is a decision, not an emotion. So I would encourage you, if you're sitting out there tonight bearing a little bit of rejected hardiness in your heart, that maybe you want to consider just letting it go. Let God have it. Even though the knucklehead who did it doesn't even recognize that they did or may never ever apologize for it, but let it go. Break yourself out of the rejection into acceptance. Believe that Jesus took your rejection. Receive God's acceptance. Engage your spiritual family. Accept yourself and keep a forgiving stance. So what do you want to do with Jesus tonight? Reject him? Or break free from the rejection and accept him? Reject him and chase after other priorities and other loyalties? Or accept him, the Word made flesh, into your life? You know, to have a healthy emotional life, you need to have a feeling that you belong, that you have self-worth, and that you're a competent individual. Belong, have self-worth, feel competent. Through Christ's death on Calvary, God demonstrated how he loves us and has done everything to provide for those three needs. So we have the power now to feel that we're accepted by the Lord. We're members of his family. We belong. We're worthy in God's eyes because of Christ's death. We're as holy today as we're going to be in heaven. He loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. We have worth. And we're competent as believers because we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and among us. So, we belong, we have worth, and we're competent. And so I'd encourage you tonight that you focus on your acceptance in Christ daily by knowing that you're loved unconditionally, that you're forgiven completely, that you're complete in Christ, and because of that, you're accepted totally. You know, the most powerful evidence that you can have of being healed from the wound of rejection is that you can love the person who rejected you. The most powerful evidence you can have about being healed from a wound of rejection is loving the person who rejected you. It's the most unnatural thing in the world. It's the most unnatural thing in the world, but it can happen through the supernatural power of God's love. You see, that's what Jesus did. He loved the people who rejected him. And that's what he continues to do with us sinners today. And you and I are blessed by that fact every day of our life. No matter what our past has been, no matter what people say about us, no matter what we choose to think about, we have to remember to choose our thinking to agree with God's truth. That as his children, we are loved unconditionally, we are completely forgiven, and we are totally accepted. And that's what sets us free from the bondage of rejection. And so my prayer tonight would be that each one of us would break out of the prison of rejection and live fully the life of acceptance that God intends for us, beginning tonight, beginning right now. And I think to that all God's people can say, amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin, for our sin, for my feelings of rejection. Thank you for accepting us as you accept your son, Jesus. May your amazing love be the foundation of our lives. May we choose to accept ourselves and those around us. May we choose to forgive those who have hurt and wounded us. May we let go of bitterness, of resentment and hatred. Help us, Lord, to love others the way that you have loved us. We thank you for setting us free from rejection right now and for accepting us as your children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.